Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Walk with me around back here in the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. We've got a special broadcast lined up for you today. Mr. Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm is here. We're getting ready to start talking rain harvesting. Rosie and I are sitting in the amphitheater at the Fort Tut Hill in Flagstaff, Arizona for the Get Outdoors Expo. Just a beautiful venue. I need to watch the, like, get a concert listing. How nice of a place would this be to watch live music?
It would be. It would be very nice.
A nice little country band.
You get to see a live lumberjack presentation if you come up today.
Along with a lot of other things.
Yes.
If you want to introduce your kids to the outdoors, this is the time and place for you to do it. It's exit, if you're coming from up I-17, it's the 89 exit.
Yep, right at the airport.
Turn in it. Follow the signs of the park. Now, it's a little confusing when you pull in because you've got signs to the rodeo. You've got signs to the gun show. And then you got to come all the way around
just
to the amphitheater.
Keep on coming.
Come around to the amphitheater. All the way at the end is the Outdoor Expo. And the vendors are setting up now. We've got National Park Service just put up a booth right here next to us. We have, you walked up there.
Arizona Trail Organization is here, about the Arizona Trail that takes you from basically Page to Eastern Nogales. Then you've got National Wild Turkey Federation. Then you've got Arizona Game and Fish present. You've got all kind of off-road vehicles. You have a boat dealer down here in the back parking lot. Now, I don't know who it is, but there's a couple really beautiful boats back there that I kind of stuck my head in last night. And then they just landed a huge helicopter back here that they're going to actually allow you to get in and look around for the search and rescue team. So it's cool.
I'm taking a tour of that on my way out of here, I'll tell you that. But we are, this hour, the Outdoor Living Hour, again, Greg Peterson, if you want to talk rain harvesting, if you have questions on rain harvesting, if you have questions on best practices, where to get started, we're covering all those things. Get on the line now at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions into 411-923. Or you can email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Mr. Peterson.
Hello, hello. It sounds like I want to be up there. It's going to be, what, 138 degrees down here in Phoenix today?
That's like that feel-like indicator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Feels like hot.
Yeah. You know what? I've been here 50 years this summer, and it seems like it gets hotter every year. Is it really getting hotter, or is my brain snapped because of the heat?
I'm suspicious. We got here in 65.
Uh-huh.
I think the heat is coming later. I think our springs are nicer, but it seems like it lasts longer.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't till Halloween before things start
cooling
back
down.
Off.
Oh yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So,
but this does bring the monsoons, and the monsoons are prime time for capturing rain harvesting.
Yeah. So actually today I want to just jump in and tell you we're actually talking about rainwater harvesting, gray water harvesting, and really other kinds of water harvesting that you can do. So I put it under the category of wickedly smart water harvesting.
Wickedly smart.
Wickedly smart. Because we live in a desert. We have to make sure that, because I get this question all the time, actually. People say, well, why should I bother harvesting rainwater in the desert? We don't get that much, and that's exactly the point.
That's all the more reason to do it.
All the more reason to do it. And so today I've got an outline for you to start thinking about how to get your rainwater and graywater harvesting set up and done.
Now, let's start with gray water definition. Everyone can understand rainwater, I would think. But people may not be familiar with the term gray water yet.
Yeah, gray water is any water that goes down any drain of your house except your toilet and your kitchen sink. And that's per Arizona Department of Environmental Quality.
That's black water. That goes to the septic or the sewers.
Exactly. That's black water. So it is legal in the state of Arizona, in every single city in the state of Arizona, to use your gray water in your landscape.
And why wouldn't you?
Exactly, because 80% of the water that goes down in your drains, at your house, is gray water.
And what does Water Use It Wisely say? Something like 80% of your water consumption is outdoors, so
yep,
just direct it right outdoors.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and what I've done here at the Urban Farm is I've actually transferred some of my services. So I have a kitchen sink. It's not really a kitchen sink, but I have an outdoor kitchen sink and an outdoor shower. And that water goes directly in the into the landscape.
And, you know, there's something really nice about an outdoor shower when it's 118 degrees. Because you don't, when you feel that dirty and sticky and gross, the last thing you want to do is go inside your clean, cool home and feel all dirty in there. So rinse off outside,
there
move
you go.
On to the inside.
And have the water be able to water your landscape.
So gray water, it's something, I don't know, I think I probably first heard about it 10 or so years ago.
Well, I'll tell you this, and Greg could probably correct me, but it hasn't been that long that it's been legal to use. I think Pima County and Tucson initiated it maybe 20 years ago, but Maricopa County and Phoenix was very slow to adopt it.
Yeah, well, and thanks to Brad Lancaster, he actually wrote the book on desert water harvesting, and it's one of the books we're going to talk about today. But he really pushed Pima County to get this stuff in place, and it actually happened in 2004 that it went statewide. So if you go in looking for a permit for gray water and they tell you, no, you can't do it, that is wrong. You can absolutely do that. There's a document online. It's called Using Gray Water at Home. It's from Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, and it outlines 13 best practices for using your gray water. And, you know, so it's completely legal. You just, you know, if you want to get a permit, go for it. Otherwise, follow the best practices and you're good to go.
You know, Greg, we live in a neighborhood of acre lots, all developed back in the 60s, horse property. And I can remember it was in the mid-90s, my neighbor came over and knocked on my door and said, can you believe I just got a ticket from the city because I was draining my washing machine into the oleanders?
Yeah. Wow.
And a lot of people, I know a lot of people would drain their clothes washing machine.
Of course.
And because that was a high water consumption, you didn't want to just empty it into your septic tank. So I know lots of people that were draining their washing machine in the oleanders.
Yeah, exactly.
Or backwashing their pool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a pool water is a different story it's got so many chemicals, high salts in it. But we call them laundry to landscape systems, and they're actually pretty simple to install as long as you have, you know, a way to get through the wall outside. You know, it's just a function of redirecting the water from the drain to, you know, to your outdoor space. And my friend Kari Spencer, she was on the show, I think, last month with us. She did a laundry to landscape at her micro farm project, and we installed it about, I don't know, 5 years ago, and we actually put in three different places. So you can move the pipe coming out of the back of your washer from pipe one, and it takes it to one part of your yard. You move it to pipe two, and it takes it to another part of your yard. You move it to pipe three, and it takes it to another part of your yard. So you're actually distributing the water where you need it.
And that's very cool. Do you have to go change valves manually, or is it all just evenly distributed?
Well, if you do what's called a branch drained system, it branches out and evenly distributes it, well, as evenly as it does, you know, going throughout throughout the pipes. The one that Brad Lancaster has in his place has the different pipes marked. So one goes to his peach tree, one goes to his citrus tree, and so then you have to move it every time you do a load of laundry. You move it to the next hole.
So I'm guessing that people that do that aren't dumping Clorox and bleach on their whites.
Thank you very much. Yes, you absolutely have to make sure that you know what you're putting in your laundry and really down the drain, because all of a sudden, away doesn't mean to some sewer plant or, you know, septic system somewhere else. It means that it's going in your yard. So you have to be really cognizant of what you put in your, you know, down your drain. There is a product I like to use called Oasis Biocompatible Soap. And the biocompatible means that it breaks down as fertilizer.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have made soap, and it is a lot of natural products. It's you've got to be careful with the lye. That can really mess your eyes up and irritate your skin. But, I mean, it's interesting that there's so many harsh chemicals. I'm making them like this. This is just all earth stuff you mix together and harden.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the thing you have to be concerned about or aware about in the desert is that you want to make sure that you don't put a lot of salts in your laundry or down your drain. So salt, there's a lot of sodium and that kind of stuff in laundry soaps and in soap. So you want to go with low sodium or low salt soaps.
We're online with Greg Peterson at 1-888-767-4348. If you have any questions relating to water harvesting, whether we're talking gray water harvesting right now, we're going to get into rain harvesting. You mentioned storm harvesting. What's the difference between rain harvesting and storm harvesting?
That's a really cool concept. So rainwater harvesting is any water that falls on your property. And the cool thing about rainwater harvesting is that for every 1,000 square feet, you get an inch of water, you get 600 gallons. So if you get an inch long rain and on 1,000 square feet, you're going to get 600 gallons of water. That's, you know, a fair amount of water.
And they've got Arizona broken up pretty good where you can look up and see how many average inches your county gets.
Yeah, exactly. And so stormwater harvesting is the water that runs by your house on the street. And my buddy, again, back to Brad Lancaster, he's the expert here in the state. What he has done is he put a concept of called curb cuts in place, where you actually cut your curb. You can get a permit for this in some places. And when the water runs by, the where the curb cut is at is a basin. And it's not an in and then another out basin. It's only one cut. So as the water's running by, the basin fills up. And when the basin gets full, the water just doesn't fill up anymore, and it just keeps running. So what he's doing is he is harvesting the water right off of the streets to water his street landscape.
Now, I have more questions about that. A lot of things run into my mind. Your asphalt, rubber, oil, gas, all these things coming together. What do you do with that water? But of everything we can do at Rosie on the House, we can't stop the clock. We're going to take our first quick break and be right back. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348 or text to 411-923. It's Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years.